It was one of the earliest game shows. It was a program called Let's Make a Deal. Contestants would dress in outlandish costumes and the hosts would offer them money for unusual items that they were wearing or were in their possession. The money could then be used by the contestants to make a deal for some hidden prize behind a closed door. Sometimes there would be a wonderful prize behind the door, a fully paid vacation in Hawaii, a weekend at Hilton Head complete with a new set of golf clubs, a sailboat, a new automobile. But sometimes behind that door would be a goat or a worthless item called a zonk. The contestants never knew what they would find behind the closed door. It was always a chance whether they would end up with a good deal or a zonk. When faced with making expensive purchases, important decisions, most of us would rather not risk the random door approach of Let's Make a Deal. We shop for the best deal we can find, often doing research on the internet, consulting experts, comparing prices, checking warranties. We go to great lengths to be sure that we don't end up with a zonk. There are all kinds of deals that we make. They can be anything from a simple handshake to a legal contract. And the deals we make go by many names: agreement, lease, contract. Sometimes an agreement or a contract is referred to as a covenant. In fact, many homeowners associations are governed by laws that are called covenants. But in the Bible, covenant has a very particular meaning. A biblical covenant is more than a deal or an agreement between two parties. It is even more than a legal binding contract. In the Bible, the word covenant always refers to an agreement in which God takes part. In a covenant, God is part of the deal. Today's first lesson speaks of a very special covenant that God made with humankind. As our reading from Genesis begins, the devastating flood is over. Noah, his family, and a whole shipload full of creatures are preparing to disembark onto the shore and into a new life. Yet in spite of having been cooped up in a boat full of smelly animals for 40 days, Noah and his family seem reluctant to leave the security of the ark. What guarantee was there that God wouldn't send another flood? And so to ease Noah's anxieties, God enters into a covenant with humankind and with all creation. God promises Noah, "It will never, ever happen again. I will never again cover the earth with water." And with these words, God makes a promise that was never to be broken. And as a sign of God's promise, as a symbol of God's covenant, God sends a rainbow. And to this day, the rainbow reminds us that where there is a covenant, there is also the unfailing promise of God. This idea of covenant brings a new dimension to human relationships because it tells us that whenever human beings enter into a biblical covenant with each other, God's presence and faithfulness are a part of the deal. One of the most obvious and familiar examples of a biblical covenant is the Christian sacrament of holy matrimony. Two individuals exchange vows that go far behind a public acclamation of making a deal with each other, prenuptial agreements notwithstanding. Their vows are far more binding than even the legal document that accompanies holy matrimony. For the marriage vows are made and spoken in God's name and in God's presence. The promises made by the couple to each other are also promises being made to God. In return, God promises to be present in the relationship, to help them live out the vows they've made to each other. God's promise and presence is what makes Christian marriage into a covenant. God also makes a covenant with each one of us in holy baptism. In today's gospel, Mark tells a very simple and abbreviated account of Jesus' baptism. Jesus hears the divine voice acknowledge him as God's true Son, whose action the Father approves. And with Jesus' baptism, God's covenant with humankind, first made to Noah and his family, is now extended to each one of us. In baptism, we become grafted into God's family by adoption and grace. We too become beloved children of God. And the covenant of baptism goes far beyond God's promise to Noah. For in holy baptism, we also receive, through Jesus, the promise of eternal life. Although today's gospel includes Jesus' baptism and his time in the wilderness, the account seems quite cryptic in comparison to the more detailed descriptions of those events found in Matthew and Luke. And I wonder why. Well, perhaps Mark wanted to emphasize that Jesus' baptism and time alone in the wilderness were both prelude and also preparation for the launching of Jesus' message and ministry. Through his baptism and time in wilderness, Jesus made ready to proclaim the good news. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. And with these words, you and I are called to listen, repent, and believe. There's even more for us to learn from this morning's gospel. At the conclusion of each Holy Eucharist, we pray together asking God to send us out to do the work you have called us to do. Hence, today's gospel suggests that our ministry, just like the ministry of Jesus, must begin with the covenant of baptism and be followed by time in the wilderness before we are ready to be sent out. But what might wilderness time look to each of us today? The constant activities of daily life often distract us from important inner experience of God and the discernment of God's plan for our lives. It's only when we're able to put aside the everyday demands of our lives and spend quiet time apart from daily distractions that we can hear God's plan for each of us. Finding time to be apart from the daily routines and demands of our lives is incredibly hard to do. For most of us, we can hardly manage a weekend retreat, much less 40 days alone in the wilderness. I don't have to name the logistic sacrifice that even spending a quiet day with God requires. And yet, it is only when we are able to set time apart, when we set aside time from the busyness of our lives, set time apart from the challenges and issues of our lives, that we can hear God speaking to us. And when we do set such time apart, we find that just like Jesus, we will be ministered to by angels. Today, as we are reminded of God's covenant with Noah, as we read of Jesus' baptism and time in the wilderness, as we hear Jesus' message to repent and believe the gospel, we are invited to renew and reclaim our baptismal covenant, to set time apart to confront our own demons, and then to respond to God with nothing less than the fullness of our lives. That is the message of Lent. And that is our task this Lent.